am the black song Spike Lee won't sing. I am the black voice inauguration bells ring. I am the black sheep disguising the scared wolf. No, I'm the black elephant in the red room scared
shook. Thank you for tuning in White to House The Queer invites Truth, me, you call a me podcast that takes on a variety of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me CC, and I'm joined by my partner in organizing, Denise.
Hello.
Hello, Denise. Just so listeners know, yes, CC is under the weather today. I know that you can hear it. Don't clown me for it. It is what it is. So this time of year is a great time of year for me because it's one where I get to practice intersectionality, because in the States it's Black History Month and in the UK it's LGBTQ History Month. So look at that. I get to bring it together across the pond. But there's nothing like bringing in Black history and showing what you think of yourself when it comes to Black history when you post a picture that looks like it comes from a Sears backdrop of you and your belly and your breast disease exposed. Tell the world that you are pregnant with two hearts pumping inside of you. That's what Beyonce did this week, and the Beehive went crazy. So, member of Beehive, how did you respond?
Who said I'm a member of a Beehive? I'm not no member of the Beehive.
You have gone to the concert. You've gone to the concert. You are a fan, and you
several times I've gone to the concerts. Yes, multiple times.
Okay, see, you felt the need to include that. Beehive, thank you. What's the issue? I'm just telling truths.
Just like the majority of humans on this planet, I love Beyonce. I feel like Beyonce could probably run for president and win. And I think she would be a great president. Yeah, man. I'm so excited for her. But, you know, I think that she does celebrity so well. There's an amazing article, actually, about the way that Taylor Swift does celebrity. And the way that that relates to how she utilizes this narrative of needing defense and being a victim and all this stuff, and how she plays on a lot of like sort of oppressive mechanisms to kind of bolster her celebrity. And I don't believe that Beyonce does that. I just love Beyonce. I think she's great. I think she loves herself and her family. So, I mean, of course, we all have this like fantasy of Beyonce, and she just loves that. She's like, I'm gonna feed all of this fantasy. You know, she's not really interested in kind of doing these confessionals. And even when she does do the confessional, like in the documentary, there's just such a drama around it that it almost doesn't feel real. But yeah. Oh, man, that photo shoot was beautiful. The artistry in it.
She was at a funeral. Let's be real. It looked like she was at a funeral and it looked like it was cheap. Yes. Like, I don't even know what that flower arrangement was. It was crazy. So
that was of hazard realness.
Okay, you first know, of all, I'm not the only one who feels this way about it. There are several hilarious African comedians who've made their memes about the African mom responding to this picture. Not to mention Very Smart Brothers talking about it looks like a Sears portrait studio. I'm not alone on it. And every word that you continue to speak, you just verify the fact that you are very deeply involved in the Beehive. Because
I feel like you're classist right now, and Very Smart Brothers, classist. Ain't nothing wrong with a Sears portrait studio. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with it.
I have all my pictures from the Sears portrait studio. You and my family were in there every year, so you can keep the classist remark to yourself.
Those photos are amazing.
But I'm glad that
they're so gorgeous.
Because they you remember magical. The Beehive, there's and apparently nothing that she can do wrong for you people. However, it is the beginning of Black History Month, and that's when she decided to announce that she was pregnant. So I guess she feels like, you know, she is deeply ingrained in Black history. In some way, she is. I don't know for the right reasons. But if she has so much power, it seems like she can maybe use that for other things going on in the States right now, but she chooses not to. On the other hand, Sage Steele, who really isn't known outside of sports fans, to be really honest, I am a big sports fan, so I doubt that you know her. Sage Steele is the host of Sports Center on the Road, and she is just huge because she's a full-time host of Sports Center, which is ESPN's flagship show. And so you see her on ESPN and ABC throughout the NBA season. Sage Steele gets on my nerves and always has gotten on my nerves because she is a biracial woman, Black father, white mother, who says that she identifies as 50% Black and 50% white. Those were her words.
She lack also, of understanding of race right there. Number you one, don't really understand how race understand works. Race.
You don't understand race when you say you identify as 50%. And I guess it didn't help that we had someone like Barack Obama in office who identified as 100% Black, because she still holds on to that viciously. She also is someone who likes to say that everything she encounters has to do with the fact that she's biracial. Now, the thing is, if you grow up in the United States, especially, not only, but if you grow up in the United States, especially, and yes, she is a very proud army brat, as she says, and claims that race doesn't matter in the military, which I know where she gets that from, but it's not completely true. Anyway,
that's not even a little bit true.
You didn't grow up in the military. I know what she means by that. It can feel that way, but she hasn't revised her perspective as growing up in the military rather than as an adult. Anyway, this is someone who everything that happens to her has to do with her being biracial, but she just looks Black. At the end of the day, she could be any old Black woman. We have all colors on the spectrum in the States.
She could be Condoleezza.
You know, she thinks because her hair is a little curly, that is the key. Anyway, over the weekend, as many of us know, there were protests because of the Muslim ban that was put into place through an executive order. And Sage Steele was trying to get to the airport in L.A. because she's traveling to the Super Bowl, which will take place in Houston this Sunday, and was in her feelings and had the nerve to post about it on Instagram, a very long post, meaning she had time. She had time to think about it because she probably read it a few times. I didn't find any spelling errors, but... She posts, quote, "So this, all caps, is why thousands of us dragged luggage nearly 2 miles to get to LAX, but still missed our flights. Fortunately, a 7-hour wait for the next flight to Houston won't affect me that much, but my heart sank for the elderly and parents with small children who did their best to walk all the way, but had no chance of making their flights. I love witnessing people exercise their right to protest, but it saddened me to see the joy on their faces knowing that they were successful in disrupting so many people's travel plans. Yes, immigrants were affected by this as well. Brilliant." End quote. With the American flag.
So that's what's important here. That's travel plans.
And immigrants were affected too, and that was who you were supposedly protesting for. Explain this to me, because I don't understand
it. Why am I explaining it to you? I don't get this woman. As you said, I'm not like a fan of SportsCenter. This is the first time I'm ever hearing her name in any context ever. But I think that she expresses a sentiment that we need to be very wary of and understand, because her perspective is getting legitimized through laws that are criminalizing protests all around the country, right? So there are laws right now in the works that say, for example, you can hit a protester if they are on the highway with your car. There are laws in the works right now saying that protesters are liable for any police protection or police activity having to do with the protests right now. So slowly but surely, or actually fastly and efficiently, the right to protest is becoming a criminal act.
They're not written into law yet. Those are things that people
not yet.
Exactly. So let's just be clear in the language. Those are not laws. Those are things
in the work.
Well, this person who proudly states that her mother is half Italian, half Irish. I would just like to help her understand what that means. If your mother is half Irish, half Italian, that means that your mother comes from immigrants. But Sage Steele to the rescue. And then didn't even back off. Of course, she was under heavy criticism on Twitter. And the only thing that she could respond with was, "All good, but just because someone has a different opinion doesn't mean they're the worst. Unless, of course, only your opinion is allowed." So Sage, the big loser of the week, not really sure what she was thinking about. But I think it's interesting that someone like Sage Steele, who is basically falling now into the category of, what's her name, Stacey Dash, or other Black women with issues, come out on the wrong side of these things, but are speaking about them. Whereas Beyonce, who did get quite loud before the election, and her partner did a concert for Hillary Clinton, now has nothing to say about politics. No remnants of formation and all those things. Now it's just, "I'm pregnant and write that into the Black
History Books. Beyonce is not a political commentator. Beyonce had, you know, spent years not even giving actual interviews. She would only take pictures, right? Like, I mean, like, she's real clear. Like, she's like, what pound of flesh you're getting is very clear for her. You're going to get this pound of flesh that dances and sings and looks fabulous, and you're going to like it. But not all of us are equipped to be, like, sharp political minds. You know,
of course,
like,
but Chrisette Michele has now released her single. Not a political genius.
Wait a second. I said sharp political mind. Sharp. Hey. And hey, at her own, you know, by her own words, she's no political genius, Chrisette Michele, right? Yeah, like she said, I don't know anything. But that doesn't stop her from talking. I think that it's very wise of a Beyonce to say, you know what? I'll have it all figured out. I'm going to just shut up. And I'm going to show up where I can show up and where I feel like what I'm supporting is clear.
Or is it all a part of the bigger plan, because Jay-Z is going to run for office in New York, so she can't be on the record?
Well, I mean, look, it really depends on what happens at the next Illuminati meeting. So, so when that goes down, I'm sure we'll know.
In our second segment, this week is all about women. That's what I'm talking about this week. This week is all about women. It's been a very exciting awards season thus far. Very, very exciting. I'll give those shout outs in a bit. And because it's awards season, it also means that there are nice little brunches happening because, you know, Sundance Film Festival is happening and they're hosting things and this and that and the other. And at a Sundance Film Festival luncheon, for women, there were a lot of women present. There was a little something that unexpectedly got reported on in the LA Times. And of course, it kind of went viral and everyone else reported on it. So the Los Angeles Times reported on this luncheon and the conversation that ensued with Selma Hayek, Shirley MacLaine, and Jessica Williams. And I really don't have to even quote too much of it, because what I can tell you is it was the conversation that Black women have all over the world when they get silenced by white women and women of color who don't know that they're not white. Basically, the luncheon is meant to empower women and this and that and the other. And instead, you know, they were supposed to be exchanging strategies of how to deal with the sexism in the industry. And long and short of it is questions like this happen. Selma Hayek told Jessica Williams, or asked her, who would she be if she weren't a woman and she weren't Black?
Ooh!
Shirley MacLaine said, change your point of view of being victimized. Find the democracy inside. Now, I honestly don't really know what the democracy inside is. I mean, is that like the
that's your inner white man.
Is that the
they want you to embrace your inner white man.
Is that the angel on the left shoulder and Satan on the right shoulder and the reason in between? And
oh, why?
You gotta have a vote on who. I don't even know. What does that mean? Find the democracy inside. I don't even know what that means. But I do know that Selma Hayek silencing Jessica Williams when she says, you know, yeah, there are days that I look at myself and I know that I'm hottest person, you know, the hottest woman on the planet. But there are some days that I'm just Black and I'm just a woman. It's not my choice. I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true, right? Like, this was not a conversation about, like, the ideal world. And this was not a conversation about spiritual mindfulness. This was a conversation mm-hmm. about hard realities of being a Black woman or being a woman or being a white woman or whatever in Hollywood, in an industry that is known to pay extremely different fees for male and female actors, that is known for not writing enough roles for older women, that is known for only portraying certain women in certain roles. So I, as a, you know, mindfulness meditation instructor, I think it's great that people are like, who would you be if mm-hmm. you're not Black and you're not, but that's not the reality of trying to get a job in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Well, if she wasn't Black and she wasn't a woman, she'd be Amy Schumer, right? Like, I mean, like, let's be real. Like, she would be having deals left and right. She would be getting paid top dollar on those deals, because this has been, like, probably the funniest woman in The Daily Show. And she's young and she's cute and her stand-up is fire. And that she has all these ideas. So she'd be the next Carol Burnett. I mean, like, you name it,
oh,
right?
Carol.
I love me some Carol. But listen, you know, first of all, the thing with Selma Hayek is that this isn't her first time kind of not getting anything, right?
Okay, and let me just chime in really quickly before you break that down for us. Selma Hayek is a Mexican immigrant. Boom. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go for it.
She's a Mexican immigrant. Here's the thing that people don't understand about Latinos, the Latinx people, is that just like within other societies where you can have an ethnic or a national identity, and we're all Americans, there's a range of races within that, right? So if you go to a place like Brazil, that breakdown is really real. And part of the strategy of the white supremacy in Brazil is to say, oh, but we're all one people, right? Like, it really doesn't matter because we all, you know, the whitest blue-eyed blonde person will be talking about how somehow they're African too. And that somehow I'm African too excuses all the problematic things that they say. Mm-hmm. So Selma Hayek aesthetically is white passing, right? I'm sorry. I mean, you could do, but in the scale of colorism,
I guess if you're just talking about colorism, yes. But if, yes,
I'm not saying she's not Latinx.
No, I'm not saying she's not Latina.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying she's not Mexican American. I'm not taking anything away from her.
I think it's hard for. There are some people who are very racially ambiguous, like Poppy from the L Word.
So Selma Hayek also comes from a high class background, privileged background, right? And Selma Hayek's experience is radically different than an Afro-Mexican person's experience. Radically different, right? So just because she may get immigration, just because she may get the boundaries of language, mm-hmm. just because of those things that she may have in common with someone, she actually, I don't think that Jessica doesn't get that, right? Jessica doesn't have to deal with immigration. She's American. She doesn't have to deal with the boundary of language. She is native tongue English, right?
Yes, and her mom was very clear. I don't know if you heard her speech at the Women's March. But she went in. She imitated that Black mama that all of us know about how you will not be average.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, like, someone like Jessica's got to have an awesome mom. You know that. But on the other hand, you know, this thing about race is different mm-hmm. for Jessica than it is for Selma. That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
You know, however Selma wants to identify, whatever. I'm not going to get too much into the breakdown of Latina's whiteness.
Well, she asked. I think if I remember correctly, Selma did ask, would you consider me a woman of color?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're a Latina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the thing is that Selma, within the context of the American rubric, definitely, or even a global one, definitely, Latina people are women of color because whiteness is really kind of relegated to European descended people, like directly European descended. But within Mexico.
No, that's a different story.
That's the thing that people don't get. It's like having someone who's a white person in their country mm-hmm. cross the border. And then they're a woman of color.
Right.
That's a new experience.
I know a lot of my friends in South Asia haven't quite understood that yet.
Right. So that's now a new experience for them. And mm-hmm. now they still coming with all of their privileged shit. Right. You know, they still want some old, you know, I got three maids. And some you know, I mean, like.
Right.
So you Selma gonna be Selma. And, you know, she, you know, this idea that if we just kind of would dream it, racism would go away is what she's peddling, right? Mm-hmm. She and Matthew McConaughey and Matt Damon.
Whole
crew, right?
But, you know, my question, look, B. Scott said we might have to go on disown Matthew. He done messed up. But what I ask myself is, are they, because these are actors, right? They are given scripts. Uh-huh. So when they go unscripted, they might not be as articulate as we know them to be. And I'm wondering, well, you know, this is a Texas boy anyway. But when you say we have to embrace it, I wonder what their understanding of embrace means. Because one, I didn't hear a lot of, whole lot of people saying that when Obama was blocked for his the entirety of his 8 years. Like, he had positions that remained unfilled because the Senate was like, we just not gonna help you out. Not mm-hmm. just the Supreme Court justice. There were positions throughout the hierarchy that never got filled because Republicans were like, we're not coming to your nomination hearings. We're not gonna vote on this. We're gonna keep. So when people say it's time to embrace, I'm not real sure about that. But what I do think is interesting when it comes to this conversation on Selma Hayek is she, of course, chimed in. She claimed that her phone had been off all weekend. And so she didn't know about the LA Times writing this article.
Mm.
But you knew the press was there. So,
oh, yeah. But you still said it.
And you still said it, right? So it is a bit of a long quote, but I'm going to quote her, so I'm not putting anything in her mouth. Mm. This is how she responded on Instagram. With a big picture, together we rise.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
Well, I am so sorry that I did not respond earlier to the feelings and valid concerns many of you have expressed in the last few days about a story that was published this weekend by the Los Angeles Times. I had not checked my phone through the weekend and only saw the article last night. I am deeply disturbed by the way this story has misrepresented me and manipulated my words and printing them out of context. We all believed we were in a forum to brainstorm about ways in which women in the industry could thrive, and that was my heart's intention. I have always and will always support the empowerment and the voices of Black women and women of color. It is inaccurate that I did not let Jessica express herself. She very passionately and eloquently spoke her mind, and I listened and engaged in what she was saying. In fact, I was very disappointed that the conversation was cut short and not able to continue. I am devastated that something that left me feeling inspired and empowered has since been depicted as a catfight, and worse yet, painted in this way by a female journalist. Rest assured, I will right this wrong. End quote. My issue with this is, one, I don't think it was written as a catfight. When I read the LA Times article, I don't see a catfight. I personally don't see a catfight. I see an exchange. I don't see women barking at each other or trying to, you know.
It seems like her angle here is that this was such an unfeminist thing to do.
Yeah.
That you took this and you only highlighted this area where you saw maybe there was conflict. And then it also lets you, the statement of Selma Hayek lets you kind of imagine that somehow they were having some deep, you know, thorough discussion. And somewhere in the strategy piece, she was like, okay, so let's think out of the box here.
Right.
Right. Okay. And so, that was like one of the many various things that she said, right?
But the thing about the LA Times piece is, like, it doesn't only go in on what was said. It goes in on body mannerisms and how people were holding themselves. So there was, like, all of the decor of being professional and whatnot. But for her to describe Jessica as passionate, when every Black woman read that and saw all of the ways that Jessica was holding herself back.
Right.
I'm confused. Right. And then to throw the eloquent on top is really annoying. Jessica,
She's so well spoken.
Jessica was not
Jessica
eloquent.
Have like an Ivy League degree or something? Did she go to Brown? Where'd she go? Like, of course she's well spoken.
Of course she's well spoken. But she wasn't being eloquent. She was using normal language. Like, I even, when I read it the first time, and I will never criticize a Black woman for how she responds in those situations, mm-hmm. because we all have good days and we all have bad days. And in that moment, we're also weighing a whole bunch of things, like how am I going, you know? So I'm not criticizing Jessica at all, but she wasn't eloquent. She was just like, look, sometimes it's like this and sometimes it's like that. It seemed to me she was speaking very plain English,
uh-huh.
and she was very measured in the way she was speaking.
Yeah, I was just, you know, like how sometimes you wish you could have a clapback time machine. Like, I almost wanted to go into the clapback time machine and be Jessica Williams, but like just whisper in her ear, like, okay, so she's gonna come with this. Here go the clapbacks. Clapbacks. Okay, I have filtered these clapbacks and measured them for highest impact, right? Like, you know, because I'm sometimes in the moment, I'm not the clappiest of backers, right? Like, I was like, okay, cool. It's right. not, you know, Jessica got a career to have.
Right. Of course. And we all have to face the angry Black woman's trope.
This is why I'm not in Hollywood, because you know where I would be. And then in a shower of explicatives, Denise left the room. But yeah, she was not so passionate.
No, she wasn't passionate. She was just normal, having a conversation. asking herself, how far do I want to step out on this limb? Because I don't know if the people around me will hold that limb up instead of letting it break. Right. And she wasn't the only Black woman in the room.
And it's a trap. And that conversation is the reason why a lot of Black women do not have conversations with race about white women and with white women anymore. Not about white women, but with white women. They refuse to, like, let me sit down with white women and talk shop about race. They just refuse because they know at the end of the day, what feels like such an empowering situation for a white woman could be such a disempowering situation for you. So, yeah, someone could go ahead. I mean, like, at the end of the day, I think that her, what she, I don't think there's any lies in there. Mm-mm. And that's what's scary, right? That's what's scary about her statement is that I really don't think, I think she's being authentic. I'm sure it went through a PR mail, but, you know, I think she's being authentic in the sense of everything she's saying in that statement feels true to her. But it's so scary that the lens of different people could be so radically different about the same situation. Rough. On that, getting back to Matthew McConaughey.
Do we have to? Okay. I only briefly, though, because this week is about women.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to talk about, so since it's about women, I had a status from a really rad woman that I wanted to read. And it has to do with this, she's a white woman named Frances Varian. And it has to do with how white people like Matthew or like, I'm not gonna say it, are stepping back and out of this moment when they could be, you know, you talk about Beyonce and her power when she, you know, she's clearly Black Lives Matter. But there's other people.
Clearly? That's like, that's very new.
Okay. I don't care how new it is, right? So, and Alicia Garza talked about that, right? She talked about even though you hold people accountable, it's not a productive thing within any movement to credential yourself with how long you've got it. We all have processes.
It's not about credentials. You just said clearly, and I don't know that I would say clearly. I think Formation was great. The rumors about her and Jay-Z providing money to bail protesters out is amazing. And that is, I have the highest respect for.
That's unequivocal.
But I don't know about clearly. That's all I'm saying.
How many dollars she got to bail people out with?
I don't know the down low on the dollars that she's bailing people out. I don't know. I don't know anything about that. There's a long list of other things that she does as well, like lightening, allowing her skin to be lightened on marketing material, right? So that's not really helping any cause other than the Azalea Banks cause. So
you know what? Like what I figured out is that we need a podcast just breaking down your hate of Beyonce. This is what we need. At this point,
I feel like hate is a very strong word.
There are some symptoms. And
I feel like hate is a very strong word. I don't hate her. I don't know her personally.
I think we need a podcast just to focus on how to remedy that side of you. Because when you hate, and it's been said before, and I will say it again. When you hate Beyonce, you hate yourself. Hate yourself. Okay. So this white woman says, if your desire to maintain a moral high ground only pops up on your internet friends when your internet friends enjoy watching Nazis get punched in the face, but not when police murder children or white men shoot up mosques and Black churches, and not when Indigenous folks have their treaties and land water rights violated, and not when your new president slaughters a bunch of Yemeni children in his first 2 weeks of office because he couldn't wait to make a plan or get a proper intel, and not when 30 million people are about to lose their health care, but we all are supposedly about to pay $25 billion for a racist wall. You might want to sit out on some of these Facebook conversations and ask yourself what you are even talking about and who you even are. It's pretty easy to be nonviolent when they're not coming for you. So that is...
Who was that? Is that public? Is that a public?
Is
that a public post? Can all of us see that?
Yeah. And that is Frances Varian.
Okay. We're going to put a link on that one.
Right. And edit it for curse words.
No. Okay. You edit it. Okay.
But yeah. And I feel like that's where we are right now is that, you know, white people are outing themselves. And not just white people, you know, gay people are outing themselves too. Queer people are outing themselves. White gay people, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's an interesting time to be alive.
In our final segment, what are we excited about? What are we looking forward to? I'll give you some time to think. I am excited about the SAG Awards, where Piper herself, Miss Schilling, gave an excellent speech when Orange is the New Black won for Best Ensemble in a TV comedy. I am excited about Taraji P. Henson, who gave her version of a great speech when the Ensemble for Hidden Figures won an SAG Award. I am excited about Mahershala Ali winning again, again for the bomb movie that is Moonlight, and giving an amazing speech about his mother, who was an ordained minister, and the conversations that they had when he made the decision to convert to Islam. I am excited about people showing up as they should right now, and also just getting the awards that they should, because I am so excited about all of those films. They make me so happy. I'm also excited about the fact that it's Black History Month, and there's a lot of things happening right now in London. There's been something called the Black House. It's been going on since the 29th of January. It's obviously not specifically to Black History Month, because that's not until October in this country, but it is celebrating Blackness. Carnage had a performance there. I'll be teaching yoga there on Sunday, because they're ending it with what they call Soul Sunday. There's going to be yoga and all other things, sorts of things. So there's a lot happening to nourish and replenish the soul around me. That makes me happy. Also, Sunday, my sister would kill me if I didn't mention it. Sunday is the Super Bowl, and I will be staying up late because rise up, the Atlanta Falcons are in the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden they have all these bandwagon fans because nobody wants to see the Patriots win. That's all right. We got the hardcore fans too. T.I. is all over Instagram excited. Ludacris all over Instagram excited. Everybody excited about Atlanta being in the Super Bowl. Let me have a good weekend and let them win. That's my
okay. Okay, so you go ahead and watch Head Injury Emporium.
Doesn't matter. Atlanta, rise up.
Oh yes, I'm excited about that Stranger Things speech, the acceptance speech. That was amazing.
I love Hop. He's like literally my favorite character for Stranger Things. And he was just like yelling and in his feelings. I'm sorry, I forgot his speech. His speech was dope.
And Winona Ryder's face is like a thing of it's like a kaleidoscope of feeling.
You know, she hasn't commented on it herself yet, but the theory is he had let quite a few people see the speech, but she didn't see it beforehand. So she probably wasn't hearing it well, so this was just her having fun with
her whole face. Her whole face was all over the place. So Other Boys New York City is a documentary about queer and transgender men of color living in New York City, and it is going to be premiering on Slay TV on February the 20th. I'm looking forward to that. That should be dope. Other than that, yeah, as you said, it's Black History Month.
And you know, Frederick Douglass, he's amazing. He's doing an amazing job. He's been recognized more and more. Martin Luther King Jr., you know, he recently met with the president. And I feel like Frederick Douglass.
These zombie Black heroes are just coming to life.
Brought from the dead to help us in these difficult times. Not to mention the fact that on the first day of Black History Month, Sean Spicer, like, I think he needs his own spinoff reality show. Like, okay, I'm not even gonna go into him, but our vice president, who's actually the really scary one, his Black History Month post was about Lincoln and the 13th Amendment.
The slaves. I mean,
look at that. Black History Month. Yeah. That's my celebration. Look at that. Right. I did something for the blacks.
This, you know, I think this is a tumultuous and dangerous time for a lot of us because, you know, I know a lot of people are stepping away from social media right now. A lot of people feel like it's absolutely overwhelming. Every day you wake up to a fresh horror in the last week or so. I understand that this is a dangerous and tumultuous time for people where either they are sinking into the depths of despair or feeling compelled to disconnect and disassociate completely. One of the most telling protest signs that I saw was this episode of Black Mirror sucks. And this is what the present day reality politically looks
That's
like.
Dope,
and
though.
It's really, really messing with a lot of our emotions. And I think that the possibility of Black History Month within this moment is to focus every single day on the possibility, of people resisting and people flourishing and people thriving regardless, despite, instead of, and moving forward, and to try and own that possibility for ourselves.
Well, that's all for this week. If you'd like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Queer Truth. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we've discussed today, so feel free to get at us. And you can support us by going to patreon.com/thequeertruth to donate. Until next time, peace out.